Speaking on this program is Brother Winford Claiborne.
Thank you and good morning. Marriage counselors, psychologists, psychiatrists, and preachers are often in radical disagreement over virtually every phase of human sexuality, marriage, family, and child rearing. But there is one area where these professionals are in almost total agreement. That is, the absolute need for those entering marriage to be mature adults. Being a husband or a wife, a father or a mother, is not child's play. These grave responsibilities and challenges require that we be emotionally, physically, and spiritually mature. Professional counselors may not agree on what constitutes maturity, but they generally do agree that marriage partners ought to be mature. It is because of the need for marriage partners and for parents to be mature that we are devoting the next several lessons to the topic, Marriage is for Adults Only. For many years, Dr. Edward Strecker served as a professor of psychiatry and chairman of the department at the University of Pennsylvania. He also served during World War II as a consultant to the Surgeon General of the Army and Navy, and as an advisor to the Secretary of War. Dr. Strecker's military duties brought him in close contact with thousands of psychoneurotics. In his excellent book, Their Mother's Sons, Dr. Strecker points out that 1,825,000 young men were rejected for the military service because of psychiatric disorders. Another 500,000 were discharged for the same reasons. Page 6. The United States military establishment commissioned Dr. Strecker to learn, if possible, the cause or causes of this tragic situation. The book I have just mentioned is his attempt to explain why there are so many Americans with serious mental and emotional difficulties. Several of Dr. Strecker's comments are especially appropriate in our study of the need for maturity in the marriage relationship. Let me read you a few excerpts from Dr. Strecker's book. These are very wise observations. Just because, Dr. Strecker says, the two contracting parties in a marriage happen to be a mature man and a mature woman, does not necessarily ensure the permanence and success of the marriage. Nevertheless, such a marriage definitely has a much better chance of survival than if one of the contracting parties is decidedly immature. It is not easy for an adult to live in a close emotional relationship with a child, and it is notably harder to do so within the confines of matrimony. Page 80. Dr. Strecker also wisely observes, the joining together in the wedlock does not make the contracting parties capable of living a mature married life, any more than sitting in an airplane makes a skillful aviator. The close relationship of marriage imposes such high emotional and social ideals that no husband or wife may hope to realize them fully. In fact, perfection is not desirable. However, child wives and child husbands fall so far short of the minimal requirements and ordinary expectations that it is not even a near miss. They make a travesty of marriage. Page 92. Dr. Strecker tells of attending weddings he did not enjoy. When the officiating clergyman solemnly announced, if any man can show just cause why they may not lawfully be joined together, let him now speak, or else hereafter forever hold his peace. I have often had the desire to say, stop. I know just cause why they may not be lawfully joined together. That young man or young woman cannot fulfill the conditions of the marriage state. He is in love with another woman and always will love her more than anything else in the world. It is she he will love and cherish, and not this young woman who stands at his side. Pages 192 and 193. The other woman in this case was the young man's mother. Dr. Strecker claims that he can almost see the hand of Mom, whether she was living or dead, reach out and unclasp the hands which had been joined together. And I could almost hear her say, "You cannot have this man. He belongs to me. I know what is in his heart. I put it there. He is mine forever." Pages 92 and 93. Do you think perhaps that Dr. Strecker has exaggerated this problem? Are there marriages where the parents will not let go of their youngsters, or the young people keep hanging on to their parents? It takes precious little experience in working with troubled marriages to be able to answer these questions. Of course, there are marriages where a husband or wife separating from parents brings many heartaches, both for the parents and for the young people. That is unquestionably the Lord's reason for teaching in the beginning of the human race, "Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh." Genesis 2:24. Our Lord Jesus Christ specifically endorsed this Old Testament teaching and then added, "Wherefore they are no more two, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder." Matthew 19:5-6. Dr. Paul Papineau was one of the pioneers in the field of family life education. Although he was not a sociologist or a psychologist, but a biologist. For the past 50 years, Dr. Papineau has written extensively, both in journal articles and in books, on marriage and family themes. One of his books, Marriage is What You Make It, mentions the fact that in some states, very young children can marry. But real marriage, Dr. Papineau says, the effective union of two personalities, is scarcely possible except to two persons who have grown up, and physical maturity is not the most important element. Emotional maturity is a decisive factor in marriage, and it does not necessarily go with physical growth. Page 28. In another of Dr. Papineau's books, Modern Marriage, he points out that one of the main reasons for failure in marriage is that people who have not grown up try to make a child's game of it. Page 1. Dr. Cleveland MacDonald has written one of the few marriage and family textbooks which is biblically oriented. His book, Creating a Successful Christian Marriage, quotes Bruce Larson as affirming that most marriage failures result from partners who are so immature, so selfish, so unschooled in real living, that they cannot take spiritual responsibility for each other or for their children. God in your life means maturity. Maturity is the basis for responsibility, willingness, and the capacity to take spiritual responsibility for the other person are parts of the test of a thoroughly happy and unselfish marriage. Page 129. But what are we really talking about when we mention the word maturity? Before I give you a definition of the word, let me distinguish between two very important concepts which have a bearing on our discussion. Those two words are childlikeness and childishness. The word childlikeness refers to those qualities of a child that are admirable and worthy of incorporation into the lives of all adults. Jesus had this idea in mind when he answered his own disciples' question, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" Matthew 18:1. Please notice what Jesus did and then what he said. And Jesus called a little child unto him, and set him in the midst of them, and said, Verily I say unto you, except you be converted, and become as little children, you shall not inherit the kingdom of heaven. Matthew 18:2-3. What quality or qualities did our Lord have in mind when he told all men that we must become like little children? Jesus explained what he meant in these words, Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as a little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Matthew 18:4. Are there other qualities of a child that Jesus would want us to make a part of our daily lives? Please listen to what Paul told the Corinthians. Brethren, be not children in understanding. Howbeit, in malice be you children, but in understanding be men. 1 Corinthians 14:20. The one quality of a child that Paul mentions in this verse that we need to follow is not harboring malice or evil in our hearts. Children have not developed mature understanding, but they do model the right attitude toward evil. They do not conceive of, and they do not practice evil. Childishness, on the other hand, means those attitudes and activities of a child that are reprehensible and must be avoided if we want to be adults. One of these we have already noted in our reading, that is, having the understanding of a child. Children understand like children because they are children. Paul instructed the Corinthians not to be like a child in understanding, but to be like men. In Paul's great chapter on love, he says to the Corinthians, When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. 1 Corinthians 13:11. Those of us who are familiar with Paul's great chapter on love know that Paul's emphasis was not acting like a child or not acting like a child. He teaches that the childhood age of the church included miracles. They were essential to the church's maturing. But now that the church has matured, we no longer need the miraculous manifestations. In an age when the scriptures had not been completed, the church had to have miraculous gifts, or they could not have known what God wanted them to know or to do. But now that God's revelation has been completed, we have all things pertaining to life and godliness. 2 Peter 1:3. In other words, the childhood age of the church has come to an end. We live in the mature age of the church. Even though that was Paul's thrust in 1 Corinthians 13:11, we can still profit from the literal words Paul used. Children speak, understand, and think like children, because they are children. But what a grave tragedy that men and women in marriage and in other phases of life talk, understand, and think like children. But would grown men and women, even members of the body of Christ, act like spoiled brats? Paul shows that the Corinthians at the time of his first letter were still babes in Christ. They were very immature. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk, and not with strong meat. For hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able. For you are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men? 1 Corinthians 3:1-3. The Corinthians were acting like little babies. They were so selfish that they did not consider the welfare of their brothers and sisters in Christ. They were dividing into small factions and destroying the body of Christ at Corinth. I know you remember Paul's criticism of this divisive spirit at Corinth. Now this I say, that every one of you says, I belong to Paul. I belong to Apollos. I belong to Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized in the name of Paul? 1 Corinthians 1:12-13. When churches or families or communities or nations are divided in such a manner, it is appropriate to accuse them of being carnally minded and acting like children. The letter to the Hebrews levels the same criticisms at members of the body of Christ. The Hebrew writer was discussing Christ's priesthood. He affirmed that Christ is a priest after the order of Melchizedek, and then says very bluntly, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing you are dull of hearing. Hebrews 5:10-11. What was wrong with the Hebrews? That they had become dull of hearing. Were they intellectually incapable of comprehending the great truths of the gospel? Had they been unable to understand because of native inability to grasp the message, they would not have been held accountable. Nor would they have been so severely criticized. So what was the problem? The inspired writer explains in words similar to those I have read to you from 1 Corinthians. For when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again which be the first principles are the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk, and not of strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a baby. Hebrews 5:12-13. Those early Hebrew Christians were just like many Christians in our own day. They were still babes. Oh, they had been members of the church long enough that they should have understood what the writer was saying. But they were still needing the first principles of the oracles of God. The Hebrew writer tells them that strong meat belongs to those who are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Hebrews 5:14. How distressed we would be if our children fail to thrive physically or mentally. We would seek help from whatever source would promise us any measure of success. The Hebrew writer was disturbed that the members of the church were not thriving spiritually. Please listen to his pointed instructions. Therefore, leaving the first principles of the oracles of God, let us go on unto perfection. Hebrews 6:1. My friends, there is no shame in being a babe in Christ. But there is shame in remaining a babe. In Hebrews 6:1, the inspired writer uses the word perfection. That word is crucial for our understanding the concept of maturity. The Greek word translated perfection does not suggest sinlessness or freedom from moral flaws. The word means fulfillment, completion, an end accomplished as the effect of a process. In fact, the word maturity is an excellent translation of the Greek. The King James translates the word teleos, of full age, Hebrews 5:14. So while the King James Version never uses the word maturity, there can be no doubt that the word perfection has that connotation in most biblical passages in the New Testament. You know the word does not indicate sinlessness because Paul refers to the Corinthians as perfect. 1 Corinthians 2:6. The Corinthians had many flaws, as you know full well if you have read 1 Corinthians very carefully. When members of the church or members of a family are acting like children, what does the Bible command them to do? Let me give you a few examples. Watch you. Stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men. Be strong. Let all your things be done in love. 1 Corinthians 16:13-14. The little expression, quit you like men, comes from a Greek word which literally means act like men. Behave like grown-ups. Almost all versions translate the verb act like men. There had been too much childishness among the Corinthians. Paul admonishes them to cease being children and to become men. Do you see the need for the application of that principle to marriage relationships? If we are old enough to get married, we should act like adults. There are many passages which have the same message, but where the word perfect is not used. I read two passages from Peter's epistles. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile, and hypocrisies, and envies, and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. 1 Peter 2, 1 and 2. But grow in grace and in knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. 2 Peter 3, 18. Let me repeat one verse from the Hebrew letter. Therefore, leaving the first principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection or full maturity. Hebrews 6, 1. The message for God's people is clear. He wants us to grow into maturity and to act in a mature way at all times and in all relationships. In his book, Marriage is What You Make It, Dr. Paul Papineau outlines 5 steps which are involved in our growing up. There are other possible ways of outlining the steps to maturity, but these can help us to understand the process. First, Dr. Papineau says the infant loves himself. Page 28. The truth is, an infant is the most selfish creature on God's good earth. His wants totally dominate his life. If it were not so, how could such a helpless creature survive? Do you remember the early days of your children's existence? What difference did it make to him or her that you had to get out of your warm bed at 3 o'clock in the morning to make him comfortable? If you had just been in the bed 2 or 3 hours, he could care less. An infant is totally committed to his own comfort, security, and bliss. He acts like a child because he is a child. But what if he or she never outgrows that stage? What kind of marriage can be built around a husband or a wife who acts like a child? What if he always demands his way, his comfort, and totally ignores the wishes and needs of his spouse? Are there people, both male and female, so selfish, so indifferent to the needs of their spouses? Every marriage counselor in the world has encountered great numbers of husbands and wives who have such an attitude. They have almost always had what they wanted, when they wanted it, or else they threw a temper tantrum. May the Lord have pity on the man or the woman who is married to such a baby. According to Dr. Papineau, the child goes on to expand his love by taking in his parents, particularly his mother. Page 28. Since the mother is constantly with him, or at least that is the ideal, and does more for him than anyone else, she becomes the dominant figure at this stage of his life. But, as important as the mother is, she must help the child to expand his horizons beyond her constant care, or there is some danger that the child will develop what some psychologists call a mother fixation. As was stated earlier, every marriage counselor has had to work with marriages where one of the spouses would not cut loose from the mother or the father or both. When a married partner does not progress beyond this second stage, the chances of having a good marriage with such a person are very slim. A few years later, according to Dr. Papineau, the child begins to get outside of the home emotionally and to take an interest in those of his own age and own sex, the gang, technically speaking. Page 29. Sociologists refer to this period of a child's life as the socialization process. Up until this time, the child has learned more from his parents than from anyone else. But during this third stage, he learns much from his peers. The child is breaking away from his total dependence on the home. At this stage in life, he merely tolerates girls, but does not grant their equality. This third step is absolutely essential if a young person is ever to become a fully functioning adult. It is unfortunate that some otherwise intelligent adults have gotten stuck in this stage of development. They remain in the gang age all their lives. You can imagine the heartaches this would produce in the life of a young bride. Her husband has to be out with the boys many times during any given month. He does not assume the responsibility for his wife and children. This is one of the most common complaints that marriage counselors hear from distraught wives. Obviously, this is not a very solid foundation on which to build a stable marriage. Then comes the interesting period of adolescence, says Dr. Papineau, in which the child's emotional horizon expands once more to take in the other sex on a level of equality. Page 29. Adolescence can be, and often is, one of the most difficult and troubling periods of a person's life. I personally do not remember any severe trauma associated with adolescence. That might be accounted for from the fact that it has been so long since I was an adolescent. But I would prefer to think that I have no unpleasant memories of adolescence, because there were at least four or five others in my home who were going through the same development. Maybe we supported each other, and that enabled us to get through this tough period with no severe repercussions. But I have worked for more than 40 years with hundreds and hundreds of adolescents, and I know some of the problems they face during that period of their lives. Adolescents take a greater and greater interest in members of the opposite sex. They admit that the opposite sex may even be here to stay. But this initial interest is usually rather generalized. Is it possible that some adults have been arrested in this stage of their development? You and I both know that there are literally hundreds of thousands of men and women who have never outgrown adolescence. They are still interested in spreading their sexual favors rather widely. This is a sign of immaturity, an unwillingness to grow up and to become fully adult human beings. Finally, according to Dr. Papineau, little by little, during this period of trial and error, attention has been focused on one person for a longer and a longer period. Page 29. This is the level of adult maturity that we want to examine in considerable depth over the next several weeks. A number of questions demand attention. What is maturity? How do we know when a person has reached maturity? What are the qualities of a mature person? Please continue to listen as we address these vital questions. We thank you for listening today. Be sure to listen next Sunday morning. Until then, may God richly bless you.